But all the time, he says that the chanting of the Hare Krishna to this, a method of Srila Prabhupada, where he says of all the instructions of this world of Mazda, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is really the most important. What is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra? There is a meaning which is given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas for each particular word of the mantra. And I want to request you so that you can enter deeper into this meaning to repeat after me. Here it is said that Hari means Radharani, Krishna means Krishna, and Rama is also another word for Krishna. O Rani, having captured my mind, please free me from material bondage. This is how you start the mantra. O Radharani, having captured my mind, please free me from material bondage. About 50% of my audience is still not listening because the mind is not yet captured. They don't hear what the lecture is about because they think of the day's worries. When we chant, this is how we start. Knowing well that our minds are so far away, we pray to Srimati Radharani to capture our restless minds. O Krishna, please attract my mind by pulling it to you. O Radhe, capture my heart by showing me your unsurpassed sweetness. In this way, the Hare Krishna mantra continues on all the 16 words of the mantra. Are combined with a specific prayer to either Radha or Krishna for acceptance. Srila Prabhupada has expressed this in a very nice and simple way. Because we might not be able to remember all the 16 meanings, so he's given us one meaning, and the scriptures enjoin that as you chant, you should lovingly enter into the meaning of the mantra. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna means addressing them. O my Lord, O my Lord's energy. So when you address somebody, you want to ask for something. So if they reply, yes, why you are calling? Then we are calling, please engage me in your service. This is the prayer. O energy of Krishna, Hare, Radhe, O Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. This is the prayer. It is described that if the mantra is chanted with the proper sadhana, we will speak about the proper sadhana in a little while, seven effects of chanting this divine mantra are to be expected. I want to encourage all of you to listen very carefully and study in your own hearts if these effects have already graced your life. If the effects have not yet graced your life, then there is a serious problem. You are drinking without stopping your thirst. There must be something very seriously wrong. Very important situation which needs to be addressed, and for this we will go into the seminar. There are these seven effects which Mahaprabhu explained. Chaturdharapanamachanam Baba Mahadagni Nivam. Jayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. First is Chaturlabhanam Acharam. The mirror of the heart is purified. The mind of the heart is like a mirror. And it is not like a mirror. It is like a mirror because everything which you come in contact with is reflected in the mind, in the heart. It's, however, not a mirror because the mirror loses immediately the image when the image is no longer present. But the heart, the mind, does not lose the images. Once there is a certain impression or samskara, then this will stay with you from your childhood to carry many images from even here from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from past lives we carry many images, and in this way our mind is more dirty than a normal mirror. It is dirtied from many years of staying into the material world. The particular mental dirt which accumulates needs purifying. Our desires of things separately from the interest of Krishna. The material mind, nectarian ocean of the holy name states, the material mind resembles a mirror covered by the dust of innumerable material impressions. They are collected in many lives and prevent one from recognizing the eternal spiritual form of the soul. The dust grains on the mirror of the mind are subtle. They consist mainly of desires to enjoy separately from Krishna and of bad habits or anattas. Very much dust is there. But by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, this mirror of the mind, that means these material impressions, will be cleaned, and a desire springs up in the heart to engage in Krishna's interest, Krishna's service. The second effect, so if you should study your heart, have you made this experience that the dust of material desires is cleansed and the desire to serve Krishna is grown? The second effect is Bhava Mahadavakti Nibhavana. Chanting extinguishes the sufferings of the tremendous blazing fire of material existence. The chanter of the holy name should be able to expect how the material miseries are slowly calming down. If the karma is not yet slowing down, at least the chanter of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra should experience that he has another vision which develops, which helps him to see the suffering which comes on his own accord in another way. In other words, this other way is that he understands this is unavoidable. It comes and came due to my karma, not through the guilt of others. And my karma is running out, and I'm becoming more close to my home to one day become connected with Krishna. So the misery or your attitude towards misery is decreased. The third effect of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is Shreya Kairava Chandika Vitaranam. Good fortune should happen in your life. Srila Vishwanacharya Bhakti Thakur says that in the sadhana practice, the beginning stages of sadhana bhakti, two very perceivable effects are there. Klesha Gni, that is the disappearance of suffering, and Shubhada, that means the coming up of auspiciousness. The scripture gives an example of the night blowing lily. The moon, when the moon rises, the lily begins to open its leaves. Because the lily is touched by the soft hands of the moon rays which unfold the lily. No one has ever seen the hands of the moon rays. Otherwise, young people who stay up in the night in the moonshine would feel highly intimidated. Ooh, someone is touching me. No. But there are soft hands in an allegorical way which unfold the lily of good fortune. Life becomes Shubhada. You develop qualities like forgiveness or forbearance. This is a sign of your good fortune. And it is even said that a devotee who chants will slowly become free from the influence of his karma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is just a side point, had so much faith in this that he would not give his brahmacharis money to purchase medicine. He said, chant Hare Krishna and your diseases will go. I thought it was an interesting point for our doctors and patients here in our hospital to see a practical application and a practical faith in this. My dear devotees, when I am in the West giving a Java seminar, I will at this time become like a lion. Here I will only become like a paper lion. Because the Indian mentality is more subtle, doesn't require such harsh words. I will ask you in a very decent way, do you feel these effects? Sometimes devotees who chant are not feeling this effect. In fact, in Germany we have a doctor who does eye diagnosis and who has found out that many times in devotees there is a flickering in the eye which indicates great instability, and he has asked me why, what is happening with the devotees. But the answer is very often they have given up the shelter of material energy, but they are yet to find the shelter of the spiritual energy. They are yet to find the shelter of the holy name. Therefore, we must now for a moment become daring in our approach to truth. We must find out a little bit the effect which sound vibration has on us. Why don't we respond to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in developing these, in experiencing these the symptoms that our heart becomes free from material desires, that the suffering is extinguished and all good fortune comes? Do we at all respond to sound vibration? And if yes, what will the sound, how do we respond to certain sound vibrations? And we will now do something which will be an extremely difficult task for you. You will all have to become scientists. That means you will all, you all will be asked to study very impartially the effect of different sound examples on your consciousness. The meaning of this exercise is not to find out if you like the music which you will hear or if you dislike it. That's not the task ahead of us. The task ahead of us is to just sit and see how the music will affect our consciousness. I want to excuse in the beginning for the somewhat awkward sound, but the unavoidable all-pervading India factor has stopped us from using the much advertised sound system of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, which is dysfunctional like it should be in India. So we have made an alternative sound system, and let's see if it works. difficult for you to enter this exercise. No comment. Just shock. It's very unexpected. Good. I wanted to do to make a little illustration, like Dwara Kadish said. The first musical example was very destructive music. We have in Europe music after which people have committed suicide because they have sent suggests that death, self-inflicted death, solution to problems. It's a very destructive music. The second example, yes, we intended to give an example of the mode of passion. In Europe, there are many wars are always our soldiers used to be accompanied by marching bands, which would help them to become energized and convinced to do war, which is of course also more ignorance, I would say, ignorance and passion. And many of these Hindi love songs, this unending is certainly in the mode of passion. And we respond to this. When we hear on the other side music in the mode of goodness, our response is different. For instance, this music, because the sound is not good, therefore you can't really go so much deeper. But if the sound would be good, you would feel, oh, so soothing. In the first musical example, you would feel very, and I can't hear it. Let us take a brick and destroy the tape recorder. It's too much. But I think the idea is there. Our consciousness definitely responds to different effects of sounds. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote once a beautiful prayer where he addressed his heart in a lamenting way, "Oh, bird of my heart, why don't you chant the holy name? I've kept something very valuable for you." Ordinary birds can repeat any song or prayer. Why can't you repeat the holy name? Why don't you react? Some time will come when your body will be placed on the stretcher and brought to the funeral fire. And at that time, fire will enter your mouth and burn your tongue. Why don't you chant now, O bird of my heart? Why don't you chant now? A very beautiful song. The reason is very often that the conditioned soul is so much covered by material modes of nature that due to the covering of ignorance and passion, we can only react to ignorant and passion music. In Europe, when I gave the seminar to new people, some people become so enthused by my music examples. The first, for instance, the whole genre of people begins to appreciatively shake their heads up and down. Their hairs fly in great relishment of the tamasic sound. So do others react on other levels to sound. We have to understand, as conditioned souls, our perception is bound to three modes of material natures and their endless varieties. Most of the time, we are totally bound to passion and ignorance, and we don't therefore react to anything spiritual. Prabhupada's reaction to the mode of passion is very, very endearing. In a little excerpt, I will tell you how he comments about the telephone. I have noticed that here in Bombay there is a very fast line. Everyone keeps a handy to be readily available at any particular second of the day for quick communications regarding mostly business and other matters. Prabhupada reacted to this fast life in a certain way, which he will hear in his own amused commentary to his attempts to get a telephone in Los Angeles.
At the same time, the Prabhupada said, at the same time, we are creating many disadvantages. Many disadvantages. From practical experience, I say that when I came to your country, in India, it is very difficult to get a telephone. The other way, and waiting at least at least for 2 years, all you have to bribe the authority, say,
I found it so, it has such a human sound, how Prabhupada comments on this passionate lifestyle of fast, 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 and available, available. He says, get out of this telephone. Cannot go on. So many of us have this problem in regards to the sound vibration of the holy name. We are embedded in rajasic and tamasic sanskaras and therefore do not react to the holy, to the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name. The major effect of these modes working on us is a covering, and as we hear from the Bhagavata, fastening of the knot of false ego. And once the false ego knot, the false ego knot is fastened and tied very intensely, a very unfortunate happens. What happens is that we commit aparadhas against the holy name. It's very interesting to study etymologically the word aparadha. Vakatish Prabhu, could I make you my scribe? Please write down the aparadha, the word. Apa means away from, and Radha means worship, or for those who are entering deeper into Krishna consciousness, it means Love is the false ego. Now many of us have heard that it moves us away from Krishna, so that we become just not able to respond to the holy name or to Krishna in the holy name. We are not in the worshipful mood as we do this in the sadhana. We all, I think, are sufficiently aware of the 10 offenses. We hear them every morning when we live in temples, or occasionally when we come to the temples. So I will not repeat the 10 offenses here, because they are so well known and so often we heard. But what I wish to do is, I wish to tell you that these aparadhas, all from where do they come? The aparadhas come from false ego. Now, if I want to tell to you, give up aparadhas, that means give up false ego. You would just go, can you please be a little bit more practical? Because the injunction to give false ego as true as it is a very, very difficult to execute, since the false ego is so all-pervading. We hear philosophically that the material world and our minds and senses are composed of different types of egos. The ego is the basic structure of material world, and then it becomes influenced by different modes. It gives rise to gross matter and the gross and subtle senses which perceive and manipulate the matter. It's so all pervading that it's very difficult to recognize and address the false ego. I remember Loganath Maharaj always gave the example of sugar, which becomes dissolved in water. It is no longer perceivable as a separate entity, separate from water. The same way, this ego stuff is so much pervasive, it's very difficult to really recognize it, and so on. Therefore, the scriptures lead us to what we could call allegorically the garden of false ego, where the different weeds grow, different plants grow, and we are encouraged to weed out these plants, and in this way address the false ego. It's also something which is sometimes a little abstract, or we can't grab it really. But what we can grab is these results of false ego, which grow, and by working on them, we can move to address the false ego better. And there are six plants which grow in the garden of false ego, in the garden of our heart. And if you wish to give up false ego, which is separating you from the worship of Krishna and from the chanting of the holy name, you need to know about these six plants. They are first nishilaksha, actions that are prohibited in the shastras and which must be strictly avoided by a person who wants to attain perfection. Maybe you can write this down in the Bhakti Prabhu. Nishilaksha. This achar, we all know, behavior. Sat achar is proper behavior, which brings us into spiritual life. Vaishnava etiquette, the matters are in this realm of sat achar. Nishi achar is that which is not acceptable as proper behavior. Kutinati. Kutinati means diplomacy and duplicity, especially the propensity to find faults in others or to pretend to be an important devotee. This is something which is called Kutinati. Someone, in order to save his face, may resort to diplomatic activities and statements. The next is Jiva Hinsa. Jiva Hinsa means violence. The gross form of violence is manifested in such things like animal killing or for overt or direct violence towards others. The subtle form of violence is envy. When envy is in my heart, I'm committing, I have some bad feelings towards others, and it is a subtle form of violence. You can feel it even when someone is very, stands before you, who is very envious towards you. Oh, this is hurting. The fourth plant or weed is lava, the desire for material gain. You want to, Radhana Maharaj once gave a lecture. He said, we are all tuned in the VHFN station. VHFM means what's in for me. We approach life and relationships with the desire to gain profit for our own selves. Puja is the fifth read, which means the striving for popularity and admiration. One cited, never become a guru. It is very dangerous when someone, you enter somewhere and they all say, fall on the knees. Yes. Or they say, Jai. Jai Hatalbhai, by that time will be Krishna Swami. Jai Krishna Swami. It is, you will have serious conflicts if you are not in the identity of the servant. This conditioned soul always wants to be popular and be worshipped, even puja, me. So this is a manifestation of the false ego. And the sixth is pratishtha, the desire to become an important person in the material world, like this. These are some practical manifestations of false ego, and we have said so far, we are turning away from Krishna due to this false ego. And these are various areas where you could work on the false ego and slowly calm it down by your own endeavors. There are other ways as well which we will come to later. Ishida Chak, Putinati, Jiva Hinsa, Lapa, Puja, and Pratishtha. Srila Prabhupada writes about these causes of aparadha. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or even an avatar, an incarnation. It is very tricky, the false ego. You may want to become free from it, but in these forms, it comes back as weeds in the heart. Prabhupada encourages us, one should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the Bhakti Lata creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the Bhakti Lata Kripa and the mundane Kripa, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. Yes. So, now I would like to become a little bit more practical. We were analyzing so far that we very well react to things in the modes of material nature, but are somehow not able to respond to the holy name properly. We are not moved by the holy name, and therefore we are not feeling the results of the holy name unfolding in our life. The holy name seems to not reach us and bestow its benefits because we are turning away due to these aparadas. We have so far said that they come from the false ego, which manifests in these six things. Now, I want to give you a very, very nice method to avoid these ten aparadas, or offenses against the holy name. In my humble opinion, this is now a personalized statement, it is very difficult to remember more than two things at once. When you have to remember ten offenses, most of persons of a simple nature like myself are not able to have them always there. But it's very easy for someone to think. In avoiding the ten offenses which pervade our lives, you can be very intelligent by just remembering one offense, which is the breeding ground of all other offenses. Please imagine a very disturbing poison tree. If you want to get rid of him, you could hack off all the branches with the poisonous fruit. But if you want to get rid of him with one action, you would go immediately to the root and cut him at the root, and then the tree would fall over and die. In the same way, the ten offenses can be avoided by going to the root of the ten offenses. In Harinam Chitani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this root to be pramada, or inattention while chanting the holy name. Practice attention. Now there are three factors which our Bhaktivinoda Prabhu will write down for all of us. Three factors which divert our attention. This is now very important and might well be the nucleus of this workshop. Could you maybe tell us a few things which you consider to be disturbances in your attention in doing japa? What have you identified or seen so far? Mind wandering. We will not write them down because they're so embarrassing. From your reaction, I assume that you are always extremely attentive because nothing comes to your mind. Drowsiness, sleeping, causes inattention. Material attachments, while you chant, you become all of a sudden your attention comes up and you are in a Hindi movie while you chant. I just don't think it is, but something like this. Okay, yes.
Money.
Planning also. The planning faculty of the mind, yes. Our Mataji's are very attentive, or are they also seeing some inattention? Here is a Mataji who becomes hungry when she chants and is diverted. Hunger can well be a diversion, yes. I need to eat somebody. No, that's not. I'm very sorry, that's which Bhaktivinoda gives. The first is diversion. Your mind is diverted to something else. Attention, for instance, hunger. All types of diversion.
Maharaj, did you say the Sanskrit word?
No, I can't say it. The second is laziness. Laziness. You just don't feel enthusiastic. You're just too lazy. Even if you chant. Solitude, or go in the association of devotees. Bhagavad Gita says can only be overcome by enthusiasm. So you might say, good, I'm lazy and I should be enthusiastic. There's almost like demanding that a scooter drives 180 miles an hour. It's not possible for a scooter. In other words, for a lazy person to become enthusiastic, that's not possible. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, even if you're lazy, then you should chant in a frame of mind which is full of joy. I'm chanting the Lord's holy name. And when you are joyful, you also very quickly become enthusiastic. In other words, utsaha means to remember, derives, utsaha means enthusiasm, derives from ut means out of something, and saha means together with the Lord. So utsaha, enthusiasm, you this rare feeling, this desire feeling, you get when you become Krishna conscious, when you are together with the Lord. That's the only way to do something when you are so lazy, to increase your Krishna consciousness, where you're feeling that you are together with the Lord. Have the darshan of the deities. But I'm so lazy, please, something needs to be done in my life. Pray to him. Or utsaha, very often utsaha comes in the association of enthusiastic and pure-hearted Vaishnavas. Enthusiastic comes like this. Then the last problem, indifference. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives one solution. If you are so careless about spiritual life, the only thing to become careful again and mindful again is sadhu sangha. Have we all experienced this in our lives? But sometimes our spiritual interest or zeal, you could say, or attachment to Krishna consciousness seems to be in a waning state. Then when we come together with good sadhus, then this is born again, we become interested again. Therefore, our system which we have here, the counselor system, which is more or less a systematic way to give a higher type of association in which Krishna consciousness is discussed, is a very good thing. It's good that it goes on. Good. For those of you who are lost, where are we in this workshop? So many informations, and where's the red line? I wish to give you the red line again. We start to lament at the beginning, in a mental way, that our attachment to the holy name is not yet born, and we want to know why this is so. And the explanation was given: we are in the most of material natures, but our jivas, conditioned souls, totally bound. Then we were saying, but another very important factor is that we make avaradas, but our activities, we just propel ourselves away from Krishna and from His holy name. We're saying that the avaradas are based on the false ego. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis. In the false ego, we gave you a few things to watch. Activities where it manifests. You remember the word was the garden of false ego, in which these plants, puja, pratishtha grow. Now we said to weed the false ego, or to weed all this out, the offenses out, we have to attack the plant at its root, and this is done if we practice attention. And attention can be practiced like this. We change the disturbance-free situation associated that appears again into the enthusiastic chanting in sadhu sangha. If you study Bhakti Vinod Thakur's work, you will really find the one thing he stresses most for learning to chant properly is Sadhu Sangha. He really mentioned this book. He said one thing, when there is a Harinam party chanting, there should be at least one pure devotee present in the Harinam party who attracts the pure name so that the members of the other Sankirtan party feel the presence of the Lord in the form of the chanting of the holy name. He very much stresses this point of Sadhu Sangha as a means to help us get into the real name and so on. I would now like to request my esteemed audience, and this will be the end. I know that some of us become restless due to we have to travel a long way to become to go home and to prepare maybe our next day's work and so on. And I wish to come to the conclusion. I wish to chant with you one round together. It will be a very interesting round. You most probably will not forget this round for a long time. I will tell you how to chant. But first, we want to hear a few devotees chant the holy name. So he is there. We will hear Srila Prabhupada. He tried to get you a tape when he chants with his devotees in the early days of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada would come to would be in New York, and we can imagine how like a loving father he looked over. Yes, it's a good time to get your rebates now on the Japa Malas. Those who have no Japa Malas with them, our devotees are distributing Japa Malas for you, which afterwards you can keep for a nominal fee. But while the distribution goes on, I will tell you the scene where Srila Prabhupada is in. He has his young American disciples. They certainly have the nose of nature in the blood and in the system, and he wants very much that they become pure devotees. He knows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this concession that by chanting the holy name all perfection can be reached. And he now wants to train his disciples in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in the proper way. That means with attention. Or, as he often would say, in an offenseless manner. So what he did is, he sat down with them every morning, and he chanted together with them in a unison. Do not know if this is the right English word, but
in unison.
It means in one voice. They all chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, in one voice. And it's a wonderful tape. It is not available in India at this moment, but it is available in Europe, and maybe one of you can obtain it from the Bhaktivedanta archives. It's a beautiful tale which some devotees the congregation put on the tape recorder, and they hear before they start to chant, to just get the impetus of a pure devotee who attracts, of course, the real name, that is Krishna, not the alphabet name, that is the alphabets of the name. Let us see, do we all have our feedback, beads available, or some remain without beads? trying the Japa Mala chanting. So let us hear Srila Prabhupada for a moment. Will also be able to complete to come to